As Phyllis mentioned, Jeremy Salupo was with us last week, last Sunday. And the very unique thing about that is that he was not aware of just the transformation, the conviction that I have to support and stand for our president. And I've had a few people say, we're not going to become political, are we? And the answer is no, we are not. We are not going to be a political church. We're not going to be involved or active in that way. And yet, I have been telling you my journey and explaining the journey that I've been on and the whys and the hows and praying for President Obama. And early in his presidency, I was very concerned that he would get assassinated and that if he would, we would have an instant civil war on our hands in our nation. So I was very concerned about that in the early years of his presidency. And then we faithfully prayed for him in our prayer sessions. It wasn't political. We were praying for our leaders. We were praying for President Obama. I did not have an affection for him, believe in any of his values whatsoever, but I honored the office that he stood in, the position he stood in, and refused to be derogatory. I just wouldn't talk. I wouldn't comment. If he popped up on the television, I'd get it off as fast as I could. So that is how I felt about him. I'm not even going to apologize for that. And so when President Trump came and I awakened to who he was and that God was putting him in place, and the prophecies continue to come, prophecies that were spoken long before he became president about God calling and choosing him. And then you see, and as I've studied and researched, what he's doing for us. And it's the first time, I'm 64 years old, first time that in my heart I've ever embraced one of our presidents, Democrat or Republican. And also understand this, I'm technically Republican, I just am, but I'm no more impressed with the Republicans than I am the Democrats. Do you understand that? I'm not. We've got a problem in our nation, a big one. Most of the chaos that goes around this entire world, our government has its stinking hands in and is responsible for the deaths of millions of people. We need to humble ourselves and pray. It's really God's wonder that we have not been eliminated as a nation because it's been that bad. And we hate abortion on our continent, but our government subsidizes abortions all over the world and at a rate that's very high. And the nefarious, meaning evil things that have taken place by our leaders, if you were God, you'd wipe us off the planet. That's the honest to God, that's the truth. Yeah, you're like, how could God? I know how all of you are when it comes to your stuff and things that matter to you. And your patience and tolerance is about like that. Let it be one of your children or your grandchildren, and the most sweet of all of you go get a gun, go shoot somebody. I mean, I know what you're made of. I've seen it. Women and men alike. When it comes to protecting yours, and protecting injustices, there is a scream and a cry that arises from our hearts, and we are not exempt from that, and it's kind of a natural reaction. So it was amazing. Jeremy came, and Phyllis and I walked away with this as an affirmation. No one knew what's in my heart. And I decided I will not be one of those pastors that is silent and critical of President Trump because he's not quite all straight in some of his behaviors. Probably better than most Christian leaders, but my mother years ago when I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to be. I wanted a drive truck. I love engines and motors and tractors and all that stuff. I'm like, just put me behind a diesel and let me go. You know, that's what I thought. That'll be perfect. The Lord would always say, no, 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 no. And my mother one time, like, why would you want to do that? Don't you know the reputation of truck drivers? And I'm like, Mom, don't you know the reputation of pastors? I've never heard people, you know, abhor, you know, a truck driver that gets on the television, but put a pastor on there, especially if he's talking about money, and it's like, boo, you know, so you're wanting me to be a pastor, you know, you think that's a wonderful thing, and I'm like, wow, when you talk about putting a bullseye on your forehead, like, that doesn't sound like much fun to me, but anyway, it's just a funny thing. I refuse to be silent, refuse to not support him, be behind him. Again, it's not political. It's this man's, he gave up a perfect life to be the president. There's nothing he didn't have that he, and so as he does this, and to realize for years and years, I have an article sitting, I printed it out on my desk, that tells, clear back to 1981, President Trump, then Donald Trump, was, because of his businesses and the things that he was and what he had, to help take down the Gambino family and some of these horrendous, what's the name for those, mafia types, whatever. And many of them were brought down, and the untold story is he was part of that. Because of his businesses and what he saw and what he was had access to and how they loved to come into, how they would, what's the term, launder money, how they would hide all that. It was in these kind of things. And in the buildings and the real estate and all of that stuff. And he was just in a position where he could watch. And he actually aided the FBI in taking some of those people down. That's the rest of the story. He's been doing that since 1981 through the 90s. I mean, there were literal things that that happened. And he was one of the whistleblowers on that, watching and relating. So he's been working with them. And he worked with all these guys that you now see. They're familiar. They know who he is, and he knows who they are, whether it's William Barr, Robert Mueller, all of those guys. Like, they've all been part of this thing for a long time. So we'll see how this all works out. So I do carry this intercessory burden for the president, and I pray at any time I feel that to pray for his protection. I just immediately offer up those prayers. So it was funny how I felt about last weekend was Jeremy, the Lord identify, like, acknowledging that. And it's like, I have that heart. I already have that heart. And I you know, and so we'll want to just see anything else, whatever, however the Lord wants to lead us. But I want you to be awake. I want you to be awake spiritually, and I want you to be awake in the world, because I believe that it's so hard for me, all that I learned, to know how much to say or not to say. I don't know. And we've been through very crucial moments. Things are always changing and turning. There was a season of time. It was a real possibility that we would move into martial law. It just depends. Our president is so wise. He cares about us so much. He's being so careful about everything he does, because too much good information too early will bring the house down. So he's very patient, and the people, the patriots that work with him, is very patient about revealing things. I've said this before. There's so much corruption in our government that if everything got exposed at one time, we wouldn't have anybody left to run the government. people are blackmailed, they're surveilled. So like, you know, we all have our phones, our, you know, and we've talked about Facebook and Google and all of those things. And every device that you have that's had access to Facebook, to Google, to Instagram is just another flare of it, Twitter, all of it, there's malware connected to those sources. Once that's on your phone, you can delete it and get it off your phone. It's already in there. And then it can be activated. And this is true of some of your appliances. This isn't conspiracy theory, this is real life. Any of your appliances that are smart appliances have a little computer in them. They can be controlled and turned on and off at any time and used as listening devices. That's just the truth. So you're not going to make that go away. You'd have to go live somewhere else, and I'm not sure where to even tell you to go to get away from it. But here's the comfort in it, is now the good guys are in charge of that stuff. Everything is a weapon. Your cars are a weapon. When I see a car coming, I'm praying that a good person's in it, driving it, in control of it. The car's not evil, but I want a good person behind the wheel as we pass at 60, 70, you know, whatever mile per hour. You're trusting that they're in control of that vehicle, that they will keep it under control, and that they don't want to take you out. And the same is true of almost anything. So I want you to be awake. I want you to be aware. I want you to, you understand, let me let you in another little secret, and I'll move on. The government had a program to study us as a society. It was called LifeLog, or DARPA. And it was active, but it was expensive, and they were studying us, what we buy, who we talk to, where we go, how much time we spend here, how much time we spend there. All the elements of your life, the more they study you, the more data they collect, the more they know how, they just know things. Why would the government did and sold to people that want to know? What are you buying? Where are you going all the time? What do you do? Who are your friends? How do you talk? That operation called LifeLog was shut down, I believe it was in February of 2012. I'm pretty sure that's the right date. On the same day, Facebook started. Facebook is simply a CIA operation that you think some college students started. Right now, Facebook, Google, all of them, they are being sued big time for the censorship, for selling information, and I don't know what it's going to look like, but serious people are dealing with them and bringing indictments against them. That's a real thing. That's happening. So there's a lot going on. And the more you learn, the more you go, thank God that our president is in the place that he is, doing what with the heart that he has to make the country great again, to save us. And here are the keys. Constitutionalism, like constitutionalist, nationalism, all of those things. And this is not just affecting America. Make America Great Again is a slogan. It's changing the whole world, because the whole world is waking up from the bondage and from what's going on. They're all waking up. They're standing on buses in Europe saying, we want Trump. Only you didn't see that on any of your news media. They're all waking up. They're watching this. And they're watching by the millions. The research, the different boards where people post things and gather, there's some very serious things, and they're connected from all over the world. I have people on my Twitter account that are from all over the place, and they're patriots in Australia, in Spain, in France. It's like they're with us. because the fight we fight is the fight they're fighting. Like they're rooting for us. That's how big this is. That's how phenomenal. And it is all, and why is God doing this? For the gospel. Mark Taylor said this from the day one, said, this is so that we have a window of time to preach the gospel like never before. So we don't want to take this liberty. It's like football player. When you get the ball, what does the coach say? I don't even care if you're the right player. If you have the ball and you have the end zone in sight, run, Forrest, run, you know, go for it. Run with the ball. It doesn't matter how you got it. No, you're not the receiver, but you got the ball. Run, go. And we have this ball and this liberty, let us not waste our time in being consumed with other things, but be this. And it's very motivating to bring truth and bring light and expose the darkness. And there's, can we, yes, we can, I'll answer my own question. We can do this with kingdom ways. If you're not a kingdom person and you're not a true believer, then you fight, you're mean, you use their tactics to fight them, and that's never right. That's never right. Be kind, be loving, use integrity. The more of us that walk in integrity, the more light that comes. This is how we fight this battle, by being believers, by being fully who the Lord wants us to be. And so I'll say again, we don't ever want to be political here. It's not about that. It's truly about being awake. We are the answer. I've said that from the beginning. We carry what the answer is. We walk in accountability. We value core values. The Constitution and our Bible, they fit together. Constitution was born out of scriptural principles. They fit. So when you have something that fits, you go, hey, that's, I like that. That brings my freedom. You know, that protects. This is what I'm about, and this is what I want to see. Okay, enough of that. I was reading some things that Graham Cook said out of a little book that I love that he has, and he used this phrase, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's so good. Isaiah 61, we're just going to read the first three verses, which you're very familiar with, but I want you to listen to and read it differently today. This is Jesus' inheritance word. It's his inheritance word. We know what an inheritance is. An inheritance is something that's been left to you, something that's given to you. You didn't deserve it. It's yours. It's a big deal. And some of us, sometimes you don't get an inheritance or get stolen from you. We have stories about that. It's hard to lose. I mean, it's a very valuable thing. And sometimes in our culture, maybe we don't value that enough. But inheritance is a big thing. It's what's given to you, what's granted to you because of what you're born into. And so it is with the kingdom. We have an inheritance, and it's what you're, through Jesus, what you're born into. And sometimes you have to contend for your inheritance. I'm not sure, you know, looking across I see a few heads nodding, like sometimes you have to contend for that. Sometimes there's stuff contending for what belongs to you, and it's awkward and hard. It can bring separation between people. Like, I hate to see that, but it's a big deal. Jesus had an inheritance word, and he stands up in the temple one day and reads this, but listen to it as his inheritance word. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. This is his inheritance. To give them beauty for ashes. So we look at this, we look at the promise that's to us, but this was Jesus' inheritance word that he would be able to give that. And several months back, I saw something and I began to talk about this incredible exchange. Starting in Isaiah 55, the Lord says through Isaiah, come and buy from me, but you can't use money. And you can't use, like, you can't use what you use, but buy from me. Come all you that are thirsty, come and buy from me. I'll give you food to drink. I'll give you, and you're like, we're like, do you take credit card? Like, I know how to buy a little bit. Cash is good. Plastic is good. Would you take a check? And so we know how to buy things. And then someone says, buy from me, but they say, but your money's no good with me. And I don't take credit. I don't want to get off the subject. It's irrelevant. Well, it is. It's simple. It's funny, but it's cute. Like, it's like someone texted me out of the clear blue. I still don't know how they got. Could you install ceiling fans, you know, in my house? I didn't know who. I said, where? Maybe. Where are you? You know, well, I'm in Lisbon. I live in Lisbon. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I could probably do that, you know. And I think the question, how much or whatever, I said, well, it depends. Here's how I work and da-da-da. I don't know. What I would, yeah, can I see it? You know, can I see the job? Well, I'm out of town and da-da-da, and it goes back and forth. And so I'm like, yeah, I can do that for you. And then he asked me, do you take... How was this? Do you take can you take credit cards? Like, well, I'm not set up for a credit card. Like, I said, no, but I can do Apple Pay. Brady just got me hooked up with Apple Pay. No, I don't do Apple Pay. I said, all right, well, I have a PayPal, you know, account, maybe through that, because I want to give you money beforehand. I'm like, I usually don't do that. Like, wait till the job's done, you know. And PayPal, no, I don't do that either, you know. And there was like somewhere there was the credit card thing, and I'm like, wow, I don't know what to tell you, dude, you know. Never heard from him anymore. I have a date written down on my calendar where I do this job. Oh, it's just funny. So what do you have to offer to the Lord if he's invites you to come and buy from him, and he's like, but you can't use your money? Can't use your efforts. You can't work for this. You can't earn this. And we find that we come, and this passage here explains what we do have. We have a hot mess. He's like, I'll take your hot mess and I'll exchange it for beauty, for garments, for oil. I'll take your mourning, your weeping. I'll take your mess and I'll give you something good in exchange, but you got to give me that. That is one of our problems. You understand that? We keep coming to Jesus and we try to take what he has for us, but we don't give him what he's asking for. And try to walk out that door with a blessing and your old junk, and I'm going to tell you, you probably won't work. You won't get to the little township road named Bethesda before you're in conflict. Ah, therein is the great dilemma. We sing in the worship songs. There was, we're liberated. We're like, I'm thinking as we're singing that, we should just be going nuts over those with myself, and it's not going that well. So you have hesitations in the midst of what, we've been liberated, not maybe half, about maybe some, a little bit. Not quite. I'm a wannabe. I would just encourage you to pursue that. Stop explaining it away or making excuses, but go, the promise is to be free. The promise is to be delivered. The promise is to be a new creation in Christ. And if after believing I'm not, then I better find out what's wrong. Because that's not what it's supposed to look like. It really isn't. We kind of like, oh yeah, everybody struggles with that. Why? Do we have to? Are we just encouraging each other? Oh yeah, disappointment, that's normal. Just like, it never turns out that way. Oh my God, that doesn't sound like the Bible. It sounds like Murphy's Law. So Jesus is reading this amazing inheritance word of his own, and awesome. He's reading it. He's believing it. I'm not sure it's going over good with the crowd. Probably not. Verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil for joy, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Like I said, we always look at this as our promise, but look at it as Jesus' inheritance word. His word is, I'm the man. I've got the stuff. I'm the Son of God. After all this suffering and what I pay for, I'm going to be able to bring deliverance to you. To your sorry selves. who can help you? We offer you good things and you're still hopeless because you're so entangled in your stuff. I give you $1 million and it still wrecks your life. Because you're corrupt. Do you understand that? I was saying that. I've said it to a few people lately. I've had this really rough. I'm like, do you know how badly wealth corrupts if you're not ready for it? And fame? Again, I'm seeing this really big because of all the corruption that's being exposed. And it's incomprehensible. It's among our elite and our celebrities, and they've got everything they need, and they're totally defiled. They do the most horrendous thing, and you go, why? You know, the wino on the street, the drug addict, you're like, oh yeah, I get that. Like, they got started down a bad road, and they've destroyed their lives, but what about people that have it all? And they don't look any better. They're not behaving any better. They're full of that wealth corrupt. If you don't have the capacity to carry it, you don't want fame and you don't want wealth. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping me poor. How about this for a statement? You're as wealthy as what you can be trusted with. Well, I'm probably not going to brag as much about being broke. But in all sincerity, there is quite a responsibility that goes with these things. When you see someone that's wealthy and they still have integrity, be impressed. Because our fallen nature, we don't do good things when we get everything. It takes integrity. It takes to stay generous. Like, oh, if I was rich, I'd be generous. If you're not generous when you're poor, you won't be generous when you're rich. Like, well, I'd like to try it. Okay. We have an inheritance word. I just love looking at that passage. Like, well, through that lens, you go, yeah, that's Jesus' promise about what he will. It's not just what we will get, but it's what he can give. It's like the power he has. He's the hero. He's amazing that he has good stuff. Turn with me to Ephesians. As I fumble through my Bible, in chapter 3, verse 14, this is one of many inheritance words for us. And so when you have an inheritance word, it's like anything else. You have to go after it, like you have to lay claim to it in your heart. And there are many things you have to contend for. And sometimes we're not willing to even contend for them. We just think someone should give it to us. The church is horrible about this. I've had it more than I want to admit. That entitlement mentality, that it shouldn't be hard. When's the last time you confessed, said that? Bad sheep. It shouldn't be this hard. Who said? There's three devils riding in the back seat of your car. Because of who you represent, because of who's in your heart, because of what you are. Of course, this is war. It's a battle. It's not for them. You don't know for them. You don't know. And if the devil's leaving somebody alone, well, that's not a good thing either. That means they're driving the wrong way and no one wants to wake them up. Like, shh, they're driving for a cliff. Shh, don't tell them. Headed right for disaster. Shh. Just let them keep going. Don't let the car break down. Don't let anything go bad. Don't let any distractions, because they're headed right for... Maybe I should point. So if you're in a battle, you're in warfare for something, you go, I shouldn't be in this. Who said? I'm doing everything wrong. Maybe you're doing everything right. And it's just not going well, but that's not how you determine that. Here's your inheritance word. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, oh yeah, baby, this is the person I want to be. Solid, full of what's good, not tormented, not depressed, not aimless, not lost, able to love. Honestly, come on, fess up. Y'all want to be able to love everybody. That's freedom. That's liberty. That hate you harbor for certain people, that's not freedom, and you know it. That thing where I can't stand so-and-so, that's not freedom. You can get three people to agree with you that you shouldn't like them, but that's not freedom. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height. Like, oh yeah, I got that. I can see. Ooh. Don't you want to see? Isn't it horrible to not be able to perceive things? Like, that's a bad feeling when you feel lost. Someone's like, do you get this? Yeah, sure. I don't get it. That happens to us sometimes in the band. I'm lost, man. That's bad. You're the leader and you're lost. I'm like, oh my God, where am I? Where here? Am I here? Where did they go? You know, there go my people. I must follow them because I am their leader, you know. Got to catch up with this thing. But the promise here is that the Spirit will fill you with perception. That's a great feeling. I hate not being able to see. I hate not being able to hear. I hate not being able to tell where I'm at. Years ago, Phyllis was always concerned about, you know, ask directions. I'm like, hey, man, we're out for a ride. I'm good. And one day, it came out that she had no sense of direction when we were out driving. She's doing better now. I went, oh, no wonder you feel panicked. I'd feel panicked too, but I know as long as I keep going north, I'm going to run into such and such road. I'm headed west or I'm headed east. I know what direction I go and I'm going, and I know what's ahead. And eventually I'm going to get somewhere and then I'll be found again. I'm not lost. I'm not lost till I can't find my way home, you know? I'm not lost till my wife tells me I'm lost. I don't know what, you know? It's a bad feeling when you lose your sense of direction. Now, take me to Celineville or someplace like that. I have a terrible time. I don't know why. I can go all over the world. And I go down there and I have a hard time. I have to tell myself, that's east. But it doesn't feel like east, but it is east. It is east. Isn't that weird? I can't explain that. It's a bad feeling. I hate that feeling. So, to be able, this is part of your inheritance. You're not to be clueless. You're to be dialed in. to have perception, to have insight, to be able to hear the Lord. Isn't this the complaint? I read my Bible, I don't understand it. That's a bad feeling. I feel for you. But the promise is, your inheritance word is, you can perceive, you can hear. You have eyes to see and ears to hear. You can tell what the Spirit's saying. That's your inheritance. That's what belongs to you. So that we can be able to comprehend with all the saints the height, the depth, the width, the breadth, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Why do you think you get jealous of people? What's really going on? Okay, come on, let's talk. What's really happening there? Why would you get jealous? Because you perceive that person has something that you don't have. That's where that all comes from. Become jealous. They have someone's attention. They have looks. They have this. They have money. And that jealousy thing, isn't that ugly? Could I tell you something? That's in you. That's not in them. And you can be free from that. And if you're filled with the love of Christ, more beautiful than you, whatever that is, and you're like, oh, cool. Wow. I wish I had hair like that. I wish I had hair, you know? When you become secure, then you can rejoice in other people's blessings and what's going on. You're like, I'm good with that. I think I told you I was back when we had DirecTV or one of those things scanning through the channels, because that's all you do. You don't watch anything. You just keep looking for something to watch. I finally said, this is nonsense. I'm done with this. Finally got smart, but after a while. And I run into a documentary or interview, and I think it was Beyonce or one of those, you know, one of those singers, and it was, you know, they're going around and here and there and just showing her life and going to the club and going here and go. The woman is consumed with jealousy. I'm like, she's insecure and jealous of every woman that comes around her. I'm like, oh my God. Wow. I'm just like, whew, let's get off this. Honestly, I'm sitting there with my mouth open. I'm like, really? We have a promise in Christ to be full of his love. That's what makes you feel secure. All that stuff and things you want, it won't satisfy this thing. It won't satisfy it. It doesn't. Look at those that have it all. Look behind the curtain and go, oh, they're a mess too. They just put makeup over it. It's true. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What more could you ask for? Filled with the fullness. Because if you've even tasted, even got close to the presence of God, you understand everything else goes away. I want to live there. And the times that I've felt it so powerfully, I grieved after it left, after I couldn't perceive it at that level, because it was so, like, when that was on me, I was all good. It was all good. I felt whole. I felt complete and hadn't done anything. Like, it's to be full of that. And it's really what he intends. Sometimes you have to walk in faith about that stuff. It's not like you can... You can walk in the awareness. This is true. Perfect example. I mean, unless you were hatched, you have a mother and father, you know, you grew up, you know, somehow, whatever. I know there's bad stories, but, and you don't just feel like a son or a daughter when you're exactly with your mom or dad, right? Like, you know, when you're over here at school, you're still a son or daughter. You know, if you go to another city, you still are a son or a daughter. Still belong to them. You don't have to be in their presence to have this understanding. I'm filled. I know who I am. I have my identity. And that's just in simple illustrations. I hope that wasn't, but just for illustration's sake, please. That's what you can have in the Father. And whether you're laid out on the floor with his presence, or whether it's just that I know that I know that he called me, he chose me, he filled me, I'm walking with him, I'm at one with him. Once you know that, we need a traffic light up here, Karen. I'm just lucky she didn't run me over, huh, Chris? Yep. Woman on a mission. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So let me interrupt your program of worry. We all can be there any given day. You can be doing good and then bah, bad news, you know. Let me interrupt that moment that can be very bad, shocking. Let me interrupt that with the promise. To him who is able to give exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. That's the promise. This is your inheritance, word. It's just one example of many. Live in your word. If you don't grab a hold of it, you may lose it. Sometimes you have to contend for these things. It's just to steal it from you. Someone would love to steal your inheritance. After all, your inheritance may be worth a lot, maybe more than you know. Someone else would love to have that. Matter of fact, they may even try to deceive you or trick you to get it away from you. Why is that? Because they see the value of it. Don't give that up. I won't turn there because I want to close. Turn here, but I want to close. Psalms 51. And it's even more fabulous if you read it in the Passion Translation, which I've read to you sometimes. Look at Psalms 51 as an inheritance word for David. Now, inheritance words, good words, are great to receive when you're feeling on top of the mountain. I deserve this. I got that. Everybody loves me. Life's good. I haven't made any major mistakes in my life. But at the point that the prophet comes to David and exposes his sin, which was adultery and murder, and you're the king of Israel, like, life's not going very well. I'm cooked. I'm in trouble. That's the worst. When you're exposed, you've been and found out, and the whole God and the whole world is going to find out about it. That's a bad day. Anybody disagree? Having a bad day with all your stuff, I don't think anybody's had that bad of a day sitting here. But there are people that have had that day. Have you ever thought that out of that place that David found himself in, he's looking at exposure? I'm cooked. Whoa. And he never really wanted to fail God on top of it. So this is, you know, a man after God's heart, David. That's what really makes it bad. Like, you love your parents and you totally screwed up and you're embarrassing the whole family and you never wanted to do that. That's really bad. Out of that situation, he writes Psalms 51. And in it is confession and acknowledgement, but also in every confession, like I said, I could take a whole morning again to talk about it because it just never runs out of how good it is. He starts making declarations about what the love of God's going to do to his heart. It's going to transform him. I've sinned against you, but you're going to transform me. You're going to make me new. You're going to wash my sin. You're going to establish me. You're going to, and he goes through this whole chapter of explaining how the intimacy. He talks about being close to the Lord when you couldn't be having a day where you felt further away and like hopeless that it'll ever have it happen again. This is the worshiper, man. This is the one who knew how to, on his and his harp out in a pasture field with the sheep, you know, entice God's heart with his worship. And to feel you've lost all that. And out of that, he writes his inheritance word. He writes down the promises. And he writes it not based on himself, but he writes it based on who he knows God is. That's the only hope you have. Wake up in the morning and get your little mind off yourself as fast as possible. I encourage you. And your weaknesses and your frailness and your whatever and your day, and get it onto the goodness of the Lord. Just as quick as you can, start thinking about his goodness and his faithfulness. It's amazing how it will change you, help you move. It'll help you face the day. It'll help you begin to have hope for impossible things. We have an inheritance word, and you've got to contend for it. And I'd encourage you, write it out if you need to, but be serious about it. Don't just say, I need this, and then you're not willing to do anything about it. Like, how often are we willing to complain, but we're really not willing to go after something? And the work in it is just identify it. And write out your promise. Like, write out what the Lord's saying. And take time and listen. We've been talking about this, listening to the Lord. It's the most important thing you can do. Listen, and then walk and follow his ways. And become consumed with, I want to hear you. I'm going to set myself in a position where I can hear what you're saying. And then once I hear what you're saying, I'm going to walk in that. And you kind of have to get up on the rampart, up on the top of a wall where there's no one else up there, and just get away from it all so you can hear what the Lord's saying. That high place, because it's quiet up there. It's still up there. You can hear what the Lord's saying, and you wait on him. Wait on him. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask for to get our eyes on our inheritance. And we need refreshed about this all the time. I need reminded about this. We all need reminded about this. We get so full of anxiety. And the truth is, you want us to just enjoy you right today before anything's worked out. Right now. Right now, before we even see any hope in sight. Right now, before the money comes. Right now, before the relationship is fixed. Right now, before the new job comes. Right now, before the new plan comes. We just make declaration, Father, that you are hope, our promise. You'll lead us in paths. You forgive our sins. You forgive our blunders. We can have made the biggest mess out of things, and you're still willing to forgive and make it right and pull us out of that, bring us out of the pit, set our feet on a rock, establish our going, set our way straight. And I just thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that. Amen. I pray that you just receive that today. I pray you receive that. Do we need to pray for anything? Yes, Sarah.